Gamora, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We're here for it today. Another wild day going on. College.
I read about this morning.
Oh, yeah. Courtesy of me.
We will. Look at this. I've already put my Fit Food, my chocolate Fit
this
Food.
This is collagen peptides.
Boy, this stuff is great, by the way. It really helps with tissue recovery and working out.
Well, I'm going to post the article on the website. I'm actually probably going to have Harrison write something up on it, actually make it really simplistic and easy to read. This is a study that came out. It was just released last month in March, and it said ingestion of whey protein plus collagen increased myofibular and muscle connective protein synthesis rates. This is really interesting because what it talked about here is how when you mix whey protein and collagen, it optimized basically post-workout recovery significantly, not just with muscle, but also protein synthesis and connective tissue as well. Now, I've known this for years as far as how good collagen is, peptides, and how good whey protein is for recovery. However, they're saying when you mix these two together, it almost has like a synergistic effect. And it said it massively increased not just muscle connective protein synthesis rate during recovery from exercise, but also basically connective protein synthesis, not just muscle. And so the article was also posted with Muscle and Fitness. And they said the benefits of blending collagen and whey protein together here. And it talks about how proteins are amino acids, those are the building blocks of muscles. Previous studies suggest essentially 1 to 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight. So if you're 200 pounds, roughly about 200 grams of protein a day is what's needed on average. And how about 20 to 30 milligrams of protein after a workout is really, really important for muscle recovery. And it says, according to this new study in medicine and science and sports exercise, it appears that adding collagen to your protein shakes supercharges your results to a whole nother level. They said muscle connective proteins such as collagen is rich in glycine and proline. So scientists theorize that because dietary collagen protein contains such high levels, it'd be considered a preferred protein source to promote connective tissue recovery.
Joints.
And this is the thing that a lot of times I think people don't really think about as much, because after you get done with a heavy workout or you're getting done exercising, or whether you're doing CrossFit or you're doing military training, you know, the muscles are always, we got to recover muscles. Well, you still put stress on your connective tissue.
Knees, elbows, shoulders,
bicep tendons, all the connective tissue still gets worn down. And protein in itself, like whey protein, doesn't just help out recovery with that as much as it should. And so that's what they're saying, basically promoting these two together. The connective tissue remodeling rate went through the roof when combined with them in that 30-minute to an hour window after a workout. So I'm going to go and have a detailed article. Harrison's going to write on it that makes it really simplistic and breaks it all down. He does a good job with that.
Harrison's the best at writing. Years ago, there was a doctor who came out. He said that it was like, you know, any type of, like gelatin.
Right.
Which is what this is, that you mix together and put in. It helps to rebuild joint tissue. And he was really, you know, caught up, you know, in the little packets of gelatin you put in things. And he made a big splash on that internationally with that.
Yeah.
And so with our collagen protein, it's phenomenal.
It's collagen peptides, yeah. Type 1 and type 2 from grass-fed bovine. So remember that as well. So you don't want to just get just regular collagen. Some of the ones at the store, they're getting them from just unbelievably heavily processed cows that are filled with all kinds of hormones and antibiotics.
Including estrogen.
So you want to make sure you're getting a pure one with type 1 and type 2 peptides. This is from grass-fed bovine, and that's why the one that I source with that is really, really good. We get it from guys out in Utah.
And it's trace mineral, too.
It's got the mineral complex in it, too, which helps out with it.
Well, I take 2 to 4 scoops of that. You know, with Van, we split a protein shake every day. And I really don't need that right now. I did that basically for theater, for everybody watching, because I take it anyhow.
Well,
but I mix it every day. I just want to show you how easy it mixes up with the protein, with the purple stick.
Well, see, and that's why that collagen does good. It mixes up well, because a lot of the old school stuff back in the day, you had to drink it quick, because it turned to like a gel.
It was awful.
It was way back then with old collagen.
But yeah, like yesterday I did 270 reps on calves. All right.
So you feel that today?
No, they're pretty sore.
Yeah.
And I also did a bunch of leg press. I did like 160 reps on leg press. And I'm really stepping my workouts back up again, which is massively increasing my human growth hormone and testosterone.
Oh, yeah.
I can feel it. And my strength is going back to the roof. And so if I'm going to be doing all that and intensify my workouts like that, I'm going to make sure
you
I
get that collagen. Because that's the thing you got to remember, guys. You can train and exercise all you want. If you're eating like garbage and you're not getting any supplements and you're not getting the raw building blocks and you're not getting enough sleep, you are not going to recover properly. In some cases, you can actually start causing more harm than good because you're breaking your body down without allowing it to properly recover.
Well, you can overtrain. I remember years ago, when I was in the bodybuilding, I remember I was working out 3 days a week per body part, which is too much, by the way. And
especially if you're training really intense.
No, it was. But I'd been doing that for years, and I'd gotten to a point where I hit a growth plateau, and I wasn't getting any bigger. I was like 20 years old.
Yeah.
And then I met a guy by the name of Boyer Coe, B-O-Y-E-R-C-O-E. He had won Mr. Universe and a few other things. And he told me, he says, Ted, you're overtraining.
Yeah.
He says, your body can't recover. He says, you've got to cut back to twice a week per body part, increase the intensity, and he says, give your body a chance to recover. And boy, I'd start doing that. I got bigger and bigger real fast. And I thought, wow, I was overtraining. So be really careful with the overtraining if you're trying to gain muscle mass. And make sure you take stuff that's going to help rebuild your muscle tissue. Eggs are great. Our protein powder is great. Our collagen is phenomenal. The Purple Sticks are great for a workout boost along with the Muscle Blast.
And the way they tested this in here, they said it was a 5-to-1 ratio. So these like 25 grams of whey to 5 grams of collagen. They were getting results with that. Me personally, when I'm taking it, I'm doing a 1-to-1 ratio. I'm doing two scoops of each. That's like 21 something grams of protein, whey protein, and almost like 18, 19 grams of collagen. Two scoops of two scoops. I think personally that's the best ratio on. That's still 40 grams of protein you're getting in. I like to keep the collagen higher. So I've noticed it really helps out with muscle recovery.
I just know my joint recovery. My joints are feeling great. Now, one other thing I want to share with you guys, and this is really important. I was having some issues with my left knee. And I've been taking the collagen, so my knee's getting a lot better. But I've also started stretching out those calves.
Yes, you got
to
stretch.
I talked to an osteopath, and I spoke with a physical therapist, and I also spoke with a massage therapist, and they said, and a chiropractor, and they said you've got to stretch your Achilles tendon out. That's when you see the guys walking and they start taking little tiny steps when they get older.
Yeah,
it's almost always because of the Achilles tendon, because it kind of contracts up, and so they can't step out.
Yeah,
their foot won't flex. And so if you don't stretch your Achilles tendon, that's going to happen to you and get older if you're sedentary. So if you do calf raises, like put your feet on, make sure you're holding on to something and put your toes on your balls of your feet on the edge of a step. And use the bottom step. Don't use the top step in case you flip backwards. Don't. I tell you what, get a 2x4. Just lay a 2x4 on the ground.
The bottom of the stairs. I mean,
but just be careful. You don't flip over backwards and make sure you hold on. And start doing calf raises. And I tell you what, it really stretches out the Achilles tendon. I never had a problem with my Achilles tendon being tight, I thought. But when I started stretching it out, my knees started getting better too. But then again, I was also taking the collagen peptides. And so it's very important. By the way, world travelers are now rethinking vacation plans to the United States. Isn't that interesting?
Why is that?
As anecdotes of detentions and deportations reverberate, early signs point to a worrying spending slump from Europeans and Canadians. Days into Donald Trump's second term, a German woman crossing into America from Mexico was held by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement for more than a month. Now, that'll get you getting kind of mad.
Yeah.
A month in detention.
A month detainment.
A few weeks later, a Canadian actress was kept for 12 days in detention. Centers on the southern borders after bureaucratic troubles over a work visa. A French scientist on his way to an astronomy conference was detained at an airport in Houston for a day in order to return home. Friction at the U.S. airport, especially disagreements over paperwork, isn't strange on its own, but say overseas diplomats. But the harshness and length of detentions and the brief time Trump has returned to Washington, D.C. are bizarre, they say. So are the headlines, which the new administration either doesn't mind or has been unable to control. The border agencies under new orders, so they're a bit stricter, says one European consular official who asked not to be named. It's funny. When I left Germany last year, I was there last April, 1st of May. I remember the guy who was, I don't know what he was. He was a cross-dresser. He had fingernails, and he was really, I guess.
Was it TSA?
Yes, it was their TSA.
German TSA?
Yeah, he looked like a, I'm not going to say it. I'm about to say a bad word. But he looked like a weirdo,
yeah.
Put it that way. And he had to call in on my doggone passport and made it come in. He's like, he's talking to the guys under his breath, and I'm like, I can't even hear what he's saying. He's talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And so finally he cleared my passport. So I don't know. Maybe it's because of the Ted Nelson Barrera show. Maybe it's because he didn't know what he was doing. Maybe because I look sinister.
The thing about this is what they're doing with this again is, yes, border control has gotten stricter. yes, we're monitoring things much tighter for good reason. But you got to remember, too, a lot of this is, again, mainstream media fear porn and, again, theater to keep people on. Oh, my gosh. Trump is making sure everybody's getting held at the border. Don't come to the United States now. This is, again, is more stage theater that they want to constantly instill as much negativity as they can about everything that's happening. So now all of a sudden, because we're having a stricter border, because we've had tens of millions of people influx into here, including violent gang members that we need to get out of this country. We're having massive crime in certain areas, including in Central Florida. Oh, you guys have stricter border problems. You guys are a problem now in the United States. You're not just letting anybody come in at any point in time at all the time for no reason whatsoever. You're a problem, United States. This is always how they twist it in the media. Don't look at actually what the real problem is. Don't look at the real man behind the curtain. Focus on anything that's happening and make sure it's headlines. Supreme Court right now absolutely blew my mind yesterday. I am beyond disappointed in them. The Supreme Court yesterday sided, okay, with the Trump administration to request the halt lower court judge Jane Bosin's order stopping Trump for deporting suspected members of Venezuelan gang, the Tren de Argos, under the Alien Enemies Act. So that's cool. That's good. They sided with Trump. The Supreme Court sided with him essentially with this lower court halt. Here's the part. They said, we grant the application and vacate the temporary restraining order. Good. And while it's a win for Trump, the impact was muted by the fact that they're saying now all detainees must be given due process before they're deported.
They're not even citizens.
They must be given due process before they're deported.
That could take years.
So you've got MS-13 and trend gangs coming into the United States doing all types of violent activity, most of which all have a rap sheet longer than any type of paperwork anybody's witnessed. And now we're saying, won't we detain them?
Coney Barrett partially joins Sotomayor's dissent.
Yep.
Boy, she's been a disappointment.
AFE detainees must receive notice after the date of this order that they are subject to removal under the Enemies Act. The notice must be afforded with a reasonable time and in such a manner that will allow them to seek habeas relief in the proper venue before such removal occurs. So it means they have time to get an attorney and basically counter it and say why they should be able to stay in the United States and tie this whole thing up in court if they want.
Well, if they were American citizens, I would understand
that. That's a completely different story, but they're not.
None
of these guys are. And they said the case presents fundamental questions about who decides how to conduct sensitive national security-related operations in the country, the president through Article 2 or the judiciary through temporary restraining orders. And essentially the Supreme Court on this, they completely dropped the ball. If you go to any other country, you're not granted the rights of the citizens of that country, especially if you go there illegally. Oh, I snuck into Germany with no passport, and I'm a criminal, and I'm running around doing things. Oh, but now you can't get rid of me. Now I can get an attorney. Now I can fight you guys for years and years to come.
I have a funny thought.
What's your funny thought?
Maybe they looked at my birth date, and they thought it wasn't me because I look younger than my pictures.
How's that relevant in my article?
It's not. I had to make a joke. But no, the guy goes, this guy's almost 70 years old. I don't think so. This guy.
Your photo looks like you. I mean, it's a passport photo, though.
Oh, I'm just messing with everybody. I'm just joking around. Maybe it fell on deaf ears on Austin. Oh, by the way, mysterious underwater pyramids, which predate civilized recordings, which goes back to Angel Wars. Mysterious underwater pyramid believed to be 12,000 years old reshapes history. We covered this in depth on the thousands of underwater pyramids and thousands of pyramids around the planet that used to be used, in my opinion, as an energy field around the planet to control the hearts of the minds and the thoughts of the individuals in the pre-Adamic race also. So this is interesting. I saw this, a mysterious underwater pyramid, 12,000 years old. And there's all kinds of these types of monuments under the waters, which shows that there was a flood before Noah, there was a flood before Adam and Eve, and it's part of history that we don't like to talk about because it doesn't quite fit in with the Smithsonian and what they like to tell us is the truth. By the way, the return of the dire wolf, these are big animals, by the way, they're genetically building dire wolves now, and they're using gray wolf's DNA along with dire wolf DNA. Yeah, so they're actually doing some Jurassic Park stuff here, and they want to bring back woolly mammoths, but they're going to do some other things.
When are we going to bring the dinosaurs back? I mean, we've obviously made enough films about it now. They've given us enough predictive programming. Clearly, they're planning on doing it at some point.
You know, the problem is we've all watched Jurassic Park. We've all seen
it. It turns out horrible for everybody.
But how many of us would still go and go see a T-Rex and drive around in an inhabited, you know, thing. I mean, if I was in the proper vehicle that couldn't be eaten, I would probably drive around there and see
They had MRAPs or something. I mean, usually the T-Rex ain't going to eat one of those.
T-Rex is a lot bigger than an MRAP.
Yeah, but I mean, they can handle massive IEDs in Afghanistan.
Do you really want to have it being tossed around by a T-Rex and while you're inside of it?
They've given us too much predictive program in these movies now. Everybody's too curious about it.
Would we go do this? I mean, and would we actually step outside of the MRAP and just take a better look? Would we want to hunt one with a Barrett? You know, would we want to do all that? I mean, is that what we're going to do? We're going to go pull teeth out of one, like that what guy was doing on the movie. But so all of this crazy stuff is part of our
world. That got my wheels turning. I'm going, would a Barrett really do it? M2HB maybe? I don't know. What's the best way to hunt one of those?
By the way, here's a terrifying vape warning for all the people that are vaping all the time. Like you said the other day, it's not like they're taking hits three or four times a day on this.
It's all day.
And it's this terrifying vape warning. It's a super fit 17-year-old gets killer popcorn lung. This is a big deal.
Those happen a lot now.
Kids are dying, doctors say. Terrified mothers warned the dangers of e-cigarettes after a daughter developed a deadly lifelong condition linked to vaping. Brian Cullen, 17, began using disposable vapes in a secret, aged 14, to ease anxiety triggered by the return of school. Wait, stop for a second.
14?
Okay. No, we got to stop here for a second.
Jeez.
No. I'm stressed out because I got to go back to school after the COVID lockdown. I'm going to start using nicotine every day now.
All day.
Okay. So I'm just... Maybe somebody needs to talk to her about this before she got evicted.
Maybe need to figure out how to manage stress properly. Maybe go to the
began
gym.
Using I mean, how nicotine supposed to keep you. She began using disposable vapes in secret, age 14, to ease anxiety triggered by the return to school. But after one afternoon 4 months ago, the keen cheerleader from Nevada, the U.S. called home out of panic. She was struggling to breathe. Yep. Her mother rushed Brianna to the local emergency room where she basically was suffering from basically popcorn lung. The condition is a rare type of lung disease triggered by inflammation of the bronchioles, the smallest airway in the lungs, which became scarred. Steroids and inhaler can reduce inflammation and help with breathing, but in severe cases, a lung transplant may be required.
It's bad.
Sufferers require lifelong care to manage their symptoms and are advised to avoid air pollution, cigarette smoke, and people who are unwell and could pass on infections. Wow. She goes, recalling the ordeal, the state agent said she called me all of a sudden and said she couldn't catch her breath, 17 years old. She kept saying, I can't breathe. It was the scariest thing. This is really, really sad.
It's a massive influx of water vapor along with the chemicals. So it's inflaming the alveoli, all the chemicals are. And what you're doing is you're inhaling water vapor all day long. Because that's what they're doing with these cartridges. You're pulling that in. And then on top of that, you're getting in enormous amounts of nicotine, which is what? A vasoconstrictant. So you're reducing blood flow throughout the entire part of the body. Remember, the lungs are the storehouse of the minerals. So when you're doing this all day with water vapor and toxins in these vapes, you're stripping all the nutrients out of your body.
Scientists have suggested there may be a possible link between popcorn lung and a chemical found in some vapes called diacetyl. However, further research is required. All I can say is this. You know, when I was a kid, you know, people used to sit around and smoke cigarettes. They did. They thought it was cool because their parents were all smoking cigarettes. And somehow we got, 50% of the kids up to the age of 18 now, you know, taking these things again. I mean, it's insane. It's insane what's going on now. And it's because it's become trendy, you know. It's like the other trend is that about 50% of kids over the age of 18 now up to the age of 40 are still living at home with their parents.
Yep.
Well, that's a lot of kids.
The issue with the trendiness of the vapes and what I've discussed so much is it's become so easy to use them discreetly. You start going out and you smoke a cigarette or two on your smoke break and you're 16, 17 years old in school. You come back in, you reek like cigarettes. You can't hide it. You smell like cigarettes. Then everybody goes, well, he's outside smoking cigarettes when he calls parents. The vapes, you get to do it all day long and nobody knows anything about them. You can vape in a back bedroom. Nobody even knows you're vaping. So you're hitting that nicotine all day, all night, sitting on video games, talking on the phone, on social media, constantly getting that nicotine, and nobody even knows you're doing it.
A lot of kids used to that huffing. You know, with aerosol cans.
Oh gosh,
and a lot of them start dying from that.
Yeah,
also the kids stop. You know, that's not as prevalent as it was. And a lot of them now are using those that stuff you use to fill balloons up with, the nitric oxide, I think it is. What's the gas? The laughing gas.
Nitrous?
Nitrous? I think so.
Laughing gas.
Yeah. Apparently, that's a big thing that's being abused by.
Well, they use it at a dentist's office under a controlled setting, but you're not supposed to be using that stuff.
Apparently, you can buy tanks of it and take hits on it and basically get it at carnivals to fill balloons, and you buy a balloon full of it.
Can you really?
Oh yeah. No, this is a big deal. In fact, if you watch that one silly movie with it's a TV show, Tulsa, with Sylvester Stallone.
That's right. You're telling me about that. They're selling them a $5 balloon.
Yeah, okay, here. Over 50% of parents are supporting adult children. Isn't that something? Two-thirds plan to cut them off in the next 3 to 4 years. More than 50% of parents with child older than 18 are providing them with at least some financial support. Half the parents are basically giving additional money up to $1,400 a month, about 6% higher last year. 83% of supporting parents contribute to their adult kids. 83% of supporting parents contribute to their adult kids. Groceries, cell phones, vacations. More than three-quarters basically attach conditions to the financial system. Well, I think they should, because 23% give money without conditions. In other words, just go buy some drugs with the 23%.
There you go, I guess.
Nearly 50% of parents have sacrificed their financial security to help the kids grow financially. I'm going to say, repeat that.
That's a big mistake.
50% of parents have sacrificed their own financial security. I knew a man years ago, and they had called, and I knew them, they were friends of the family, and he had basically bankrupted himself supporting the drug habit of his son.
Yeah.
So be very careful with this. And the son basically had stripped him of almost $500,000 of savings.
Well, the thing about that topic that becomes a very sensitive topic is, if you're a family and you're already trying to financially maintain stability, and you got one or two children in there that are just turning into parasites. And
Did you say parasites?
I said parasites. As I've watched it happen now, exactly with the situation you talked about as well, where you'll have these kids that do not produce anything, do not contribute anything. All they do is leech. Well, that's okay when they're 13, 14, 15 years old. They're learning how to work and they're learning how to go to school, or they're in college and they're working on something. If you got a kid that's 35 and all he does is sit in the basement and play video games and all you do is pay for him to live, you got to reach a point where you're going to say, are you going to do anything? Are you going to go anywhere?
Well, at the age of 35, they pretty much have answered that already.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At 25, they're not contributing to anything. I mean, okay, what point? I mean, I knew a guy that for a long time, he had all of his kids live, four kids. Nobody wanted to pay rent. Everybody wanted to live off him. He's working his butt off, doing sales, contributing, taking care of the whole family, and all they did was just
leech
off of him.
Well, I know that individual. In fact, one of his kids got married and brought the wife home. With him.
And I understand the younger generation's in a quandary right now. Because if you're in your early 20s and you're trying to figure out what to do with your life and you're going out and you're saying, I want to buy a house, and the housing market is so completely manipulated by the bankers that love the free air and BlackRock and the guys that manipulated the markets now, and you've got these huge price swings with these huge interest rates and this huge manipulation factor. You put money in escrow, and then all of a sudden they come back to you at the end of the year and say, well, you've made payments on it, but you're $4,000 or $5,000 short on escrow this year because your property taxes went up because the home valuation went up, and yet nothing changed for you, but you owe us more money, more money, more money. The entire housing market is designed to do one thing now. It's designed to extract as much wealth as they can out of the younger generation for their entire life. They've done this now. They've manipulated the market. There's a reason why BlackRock owns 60% of the residential housing in the United States now. There's a reason why these banks have come in and bought up huge swaths of all these notes, and they continue to manipulate the market.
They buy entire subdivisions.
Entire subdivisions before they're even built. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they've done this. They don't want anybody owning anything intrinsic.
Klaus Schwab, by 2030, you'll know nothing. You'll be happy. You'll like it. You'll love it.
It's a rough situation. I've seen it. I've watched it with generations now. I mean, when down here in Florida 5-6 years ago, you could go buy a really, really nice house for $150,000, with a 2.5% interest rate. It was actually a reasonable price, a reasonable maintenance. Now it's this house, it's 1,200 square feet with 3 bedrooms, and it's built like a piece of garbage. The windows are single pane, $400,000 and 8% mortgage. And you're like, that doesn't even sound right. Well, it's because they manipulated the market through the banking cartel, through Rothschild, through BlackRock, and now they're going in now, and they're charging exponential price for houses that are not worth anything. And so it's an interesting world.
I talked to the AC guy who basically had to put new AC in the studio.
Yeah.
And he told me he was putting in 15, 20, 25 new houses a month a few years ago as far as AC system.
Yeah.
So now he's putting in 2 a month.
Wow.
Because the housing slowed down that much. Because of exactly what you said. Because now the prices have gone through the roof. Here, in fact, it's funny you brought that up because the Wall Street Journal had an article this morning. It said Americans have $35 trillion in housing wealth, but it's costing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is inflated housing wealth, by the way. And they're saying they're buying $800,000 homes with $4,000 a month payments, and now the house goes up $300,000, and their property taxes goes up $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they were just living there, paying their payment. All of a sudden, now they have to give another $5,000 for taxes.
Well, no, this article is talking about this early same thing. They said, okay, well, your payment's $2,500 a month on this house. Okay, done. That's all I need to pay. $2,500, everything's inclusive. They come back a year later and they go, oh, by the way, you're $5,000 negative short in your escrow. Your property taxes went up on what we estimated. So you owe us $5,000. And they go, well, I don't have $5,000 on top of that. That's fine. If you don't pay that by next month, your payments go from $2,500 to $3,900. You go, like, I can't afford that. Payments are going up $1,400 a month. It's okay. Let us know if you need a default on the house. Go ahead and move out. And all of a sudden, everybody's going, this doesn't even make sense.
Well, you know,
it's exactly what it's designed to do.
I heard this TV evangelist say one time, and I'm not going to mention his name because I don't follow him because I think he's a scammer.
Yeah.
And I think he's a high-level Mason. And he's also a weirdo.
I know you're talking about.
And he has multiple jets.
Yeah.
And I've met him. You've met him. There's a picture of you with him, actually.
Somewhere.
Yeah. I think I've tossed it, honestly. And and quite frankly, he just claims to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
Okay. And the interesting thing about this is he did say something one time that was absolutely true. And so I'm going to quote him. Well, loosely quote him because I can't really remember what he said. But I can remember the idea of what he said. He said, it's not the cost of the investment. It's the maintenance that gets you long term.
That's a fact.
Okay. It's the property taxes. It's the repairs. It's the new air conditioners. It's the leaky plumbing. It's the on and
it's
on.
It's the homeowner's insurance that triples when you don't have a new roof after 15 years. Mm-hmm. And now you got to put a new roof on for $25,000 or your insurance goes up $10,000 a year. Yeah.
But, you know, it's the long-term maintenance and it's the long-term taxes, long-term upkeeps and repairs. Because, I mean, it's like having a swimming pool. A swimming pool is having a concrete pond in your yard. It's like in Florida, everything wants to grow in it. All the algae, snakes want to get in it. Gators want to get in it. Everything wants to get in it. I mean, one time I remember I was sitting at my house at Somerset where we used to live. And I was splashing my hand in the cold water of the pool, and I was in the hot tub, and a snake wraps around my arm.
Yep, sounds about right.
About right. I fling it up to the roof. It hits the top of the screen room, bounces off. It's swimming around to the pool. I think to myself, this welcome to Florida.
Yeah.
You know, so basically it was one of those deals. A snake didn't make it out of the screen room alive, by the way. But the reality is that, you know, it's one of those things that you don't realize how much maintenance it is.
Well, and what's happened is now is the bankers have realized that the houses – were kind of one of the last long-term investments if people can get in them right. They realize that. If you got into a house for a really good price over the period of 5 or 10 years, the value was going to go up on real estate and property. And if you kept the maintenance low enough and the property taxes low enough, you could actually increase equity in the house and it would build wealth, right? Concept, pretty simple. Well, that's not okay with them. They wanted all the wealth for themselves, and they want everybody just to own debt and houses. That way you live in a house, you pay enormous amounts of money for the house, you go to sell it in 5 or 10 years, and you're still out an enormous amount of money. The bankers cannot handle anyone making any type of money but themselves. They're the greediest individuals on the planet, and there's a reason why we've run into these problems. It is all about greed and avarice, and that's why you got to be very careful with these guys when you do business with them. Because they will stab you in the back at any chance.
My dad warned me about that. He was talking to me one day about the subdivisions and the houses. And he said, guess who owns all the stuff? Well, the people who live in them. He said, no, the bankers own it all. Because he saw it happen with Iowa in the farming during the Great Depression. And they started seizing everybody's family's homes and farms.
For pennies on the dollar.
My grandfather was farming. He owned 1,500 acres, but it was leveraged. And he had to split it up among his five children in order just so they could work it themselves and could make the payments on the doggone notes for the property.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because the banks were going to take all of it. And so when you see this and you see the greed and the avarice that Austin's talking about, it's mind-boggling. And then when you go to borrow something from them, oh, no, can't do it.
Oh, you know? Or they want everything. Well, I need last 5 years of your income and tax returns.
Oh,
I need three people to vouch for you, and I need all – oh, by the way, there's a charge here. You had a $1,000 deposit in your account 2 years ago. We need to know where that $1,000 came from. I've seen it from – I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, it's
– you guys are owning all the leverage, all the equity on the property.
Well,
but yeah,
it's the avarice. It's the greed. And by the way, I want to say one thing else about these kids taking and sponging off their parents. The individual that we're talking about, the person that we knew, the young man actually ended up overdosing on heroin. He'd been addicted to heroin for 20 years. And that when the individual was basically – when the investigators were talking to the family, they asked, who enabled this young man to do this? He's well-fed. He's well-groomed. He's not living under a bridge. Who gave him the money to buy all of this heroin?
Yep.
And it was his dad. And, you know, and sadly, you know, you see that kind of stuff, and the dad had been bankrupted from it. The kid was dead. Ask yourself a question. If your child refuses to work, if your child refuses to get a blood test, I kind of got close to home on that one as far as drug use, because I remember I had told this individual when they contacted our family, I said, why don't you get him blood tested if you're giving him all this money every month?
Yeah.
See if he's on any kind of, you know, drugs.
What's he actually doing with it?
He's, oh, no, no, he won't do that. He won't let me do that. I'm like, well, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're giving somebody money and you're supporting them and they refuse to get blood tested, just maybe you need to cut back on the support. You know, because something else is going on. And so you see it over and over. It's like Austin said, they're living in the basement for 35, 40 years old. So there's a high probability that they're not doing anything besides drugs and playing video games.
Sure.
And so when you have
vaping.
Vaping. So you have to ask yourself a question. Are you really, really helping that child? I spoke to another man here a few months ago, and I mentioned this on the show a couple of weeks ago, and the kid had been in his room locked up for almost 4 months.
Yeah, he's home with that. Just didn't want to do anything.
And I came in.
Yeah.
Well, he came out and basically spoke to me. It was very polite. And I said to him, I said, why don't you get a job?
Yeah, do something.
Do something. You know, he dropped out of college, done it, just sitting in the, you know, and I found out he was hooked on vaping.
Oh, yeah, they all are.
Yeah.
They all are.
And his dad and his mom are good people, too. But the problem is you can't enable children to do what they want to do whenever they want to do it by giving them money if they don't have the ability to pay for that stuff themselves. Don't give it to them if they're 25 years old. It's not worth it.
No.
Make him have some type of financial incentive to go out and get a job.
Well, when you gotta have some blood, sweat, and pain associated with it, you appreciate a whole heck of a lot more.
What I had you do and Harrison do whenever you guys were young, I taught you how to work
all the time.
I mean, we're out fixing sprinklers and the acid test. We have some 14-foot-tall viberm
hedges.
I mean,
I will not put them on my property.
Yeah. About 1,000 feet of them. And I have to admit now, over the years, I've gotten rid of almost all of them. And so you're up on a 12-foot ladder with a pair of, you know
hedge clippers. In August.
Up and down. And that is the acid test. I've done that so many times personally. But I tell you what, if you want to teach a child how to work, you put them on a set of viburnum hedges.
I'd have those things perfectly squared up.
You would, too.
I'd have the top trim, perfect flat top, sides edged. And I'd be so proud of them. I'd look at them, and then 3 weeks later, be like, they look like crap again. Why they grow so fast? Stop giving them water.
The funniest part was Harrison. He was like 16 years old, and it was his turn to cut the viburnum.
Yeah.
And he was out there. Oh, he's mad. I wasn't home. So Sharon and I were like on vacation.
I was. I remember this.
Oh, and he came in, and he butchered them.
I walked outside, and I looked at him. You could see straight through them. He dug them in about 14 inches, and I was like, oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
I've done all this work for decades, maintained them, and you've ruined them. In one swing.
Well, his goal was to make him look so bad that I would never ask him.
And it worked.
And it works.
I took pride in it. If I would have known it had been that easy, I would have butchered him years ago.
Oh, it took a year for them to come back down.
They were like sticks
sticking up all the way around the yard. I'm like, looked at Harrison, what are you thinking? Well, I need to cut him back some. I'm like, you didn't cut him back some. Then he went down the sides of every stalk and took all the leaves off of it. There was sticks sticking up. But they looked better after they came out a year later.
Maybe they filled out some.
But for a year, it was awful.
This is something I want to cover, though, switching gears. This is a funny story, too, now, considering the fact that I've said this for about 5 or 6 years, and everybody laughed at me and said it's the next generation. Billions of dollars in EV and EV battery factories are now all being canceled across the United States.
Well, here we go.
Now you find out the real cost, because remember, all the government subsidies have been shut down for this.
There you go.
The only reason the EV market was even mildly staying afloat is because they were getting tens of billions of dollars in green energy subsidies for the last 4 years. I called this out. I said, despite a wave of electric vehicle factories popping up in recent years, fueled by tax credits for the Inflation Reduction Act and promising jobs, many of these projects are now being completely scrapped. And just the first quarter of 2025, more EV-related projects were canceled than in the last 2 years combined. Among the losses, a $1 billion thermal battery barrier plant in Georgia and a $1.2 billion lithium-ion battery factory in Arizona, casting doubt on the homegrown EV production. Here's the problem with this. I've said this before. I think the battery systems and the lithium-ion batteries are a cool idea. They're a cool concept. There's a couple cool vehicles that are actually okay for, you know, around town usability.
Hybrids.
But when you start going in, you start saying, we're mandating that everything has to go electric by X year. We're mandating that you have to basically start building these things. We're mandating this, and we're going to give you money and more money and more money and more money and taxpayer money. The industry, the market, the consumers do not naturally, organically grow with this. It's being artificially funded and propped up through grant money in order to manufacture it. Nobody wants a $100,000 EV vehicle that's worth $20,000 in 3 years. Nobody
three
wants
years,
that.
1 year.
Nobody wants that. I mean, Porsche is completely coming in now and rethinking their entire strategy with the take-in and stuff like that, because they're
$200,000 EV. I mean, what were they thinking?
Porsche, the Turbo GT with the Weissach package is like $230,000, $240,000 on the Porsche.
Oh yeah, wait till they try to trade that thing.
Six months later, you see them listed online for $130,000, $140,000. That's a bloodletting in a couple months.
And that's just the beginning.
And that's wholesale. That's dealers trying to retail them out after buying them wholesale.
And the dealers can't get rid of them at 130. So they're, you know, I told my friend the other day, told me that by the time they get a car from the auction to the doggone dealership, now with the volatile market we're in, it may drop $4,000 or $5,000 in value within 4 days.
Yeah. And that's why my advice to everybody right now is watch the vehicle market and see what it's gonna do. There's a lot of weird stuff. This an article just came out that said the world's second largest automaker, Volkswagen, has made dramatic moves in stopping U.S. car imports right now.
This is a big deal, by the way.
This is a big deal. Nobody's covering this at all. Volkswagen's holding 37,000 cars at U.S. ports amid tariff turmoil right now. Remember, Volkswagen owns Audi. They own Porsche. They own like just about everybody.
They own a bunch of
Mercedes.
No, they own Audi. Volkswagen owns Audi. They own Porsche. They own Lamborghini.
Yep.
They own a lot of stuff.
There's a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. They said the affected cars arrived in the U.S. the same day Trump announced the sweeping levies. Now they're sitting idle as VW considers its next move. Executives are thought to be hoping either presidential U-turn or a chance to negotiate a lower rate. They said if not, the fee will appear alongside standard charge like tax and extras. On this side is the tariff fee. Now, here's the thing about this that just happened yesterday. EU came in and they said, we want to do zero for zero tariffs on cars and industrial goods.
How about that?
Oh, imagine that. I said it yesterday. I've said it for weeks. One of the biggest reasons why we put these tariffs in place was to bring everybody to the table for a negotiation tool, because nobody thought we were going to do it.
It was time.
And it was time. Now, this Trump cracks me up. I can't handle so much of them sometimes. Now he says, no. We're not doing zero for zero tariffs. Now you must buy $350 billion worth of energy from us every year to get zero for zero tariffs.
Well, what he's had enough.
The biggest
problem we have here. Now, Germany, let me just kind of go into detail on this for a second. Before Germany was forced to sign onto the EU's debt and on Greece's debt and all the other stuff with all the stuff they had to float, before Germany got put into debt, they pretty much had zero national debt.
Right.
Okay. And now there's a reason for that, because they have a Federal Reserve Bank there too. And they couldn't get Germans into debt through the Federal Reserve Bank in Germany because the Germans had such a surplus on trade.
Exports so high.
In other
high.
Words, let's just give you this. It wasn't $1 trillion a year, but let's just make it easy. Let's say it was $1 trillion a year of extra stuff that they were sending to all the world. And so they had this money coming in constantly, which kept their debt paid down. Well, they don't. The bankers, the greedy, avarice bankers, the Luciferian Kabbalah synagogue of Satan bankers, they don't want that to be that way. They don't want Germany to be debt free and have hardly any national debt because of the surplus. So they want everybody to be in debt, in debt, in debt. Now, we, on the other hand, what did we do? We basically brought all of this stuff in, causing massive trades, you know, imbalances.
Yeah.
And we were bringing in, like, you know, let's say $1 trillion a year in automobiles and other types of products from other countries, not charging them any tariffs. And suddenly, you know, we have all of this money leaving our country going somewhere else. And so all of a sudden we run out of the M1 money supply or whatever we had here as far as paying the bills. And we've got to borrow more debt. And so what they're trying to do now is stir sure up, because we talked about the Elon Musk said this yesterday, how there's a giant pillar in the world economy that is the United States of America as the reserve currency. And if it collapses, everything's going to collapse. And that's a fact. And so he's saying that, hey, we've got to stabilize our own house. And that's what Trump's trying to do here. He's trying to stabilize all of these export-import balances so that we have the ability to be better as far as balancing our debt and not have this giant trade surplus coming into the United States. And he's right about that.
This
he really
is. Right here. It says Donald Trump said late on April 7th, yesterday, that the European Union would need to buy $350 billion worth of American energy to secure the relief from the tariffs. Trump was responding to the European Commissioner President, who said earlier on Monday, Brussels in EU was ready to negotiate zero-for-zero tariffs on industrial goods and vehicles. But they asked Trump whether he would say that was going to be good to bring the tariffs down. He said, no, it is not. The European Union has been really tough over the years. We have a trade deficit with the European Union around $350 billion.
What a trillion, but it was $350 billion.
It needs to be fair. One of the ways we can do that and disappear easily and quickly is they're going to have to buy our energy from us. They can buy it. We can knock off $350 billion in 1 week. And so I told you guys this was going to happen. All of a sudden, all the other countries are going, whoa, tariffs. Where are these tariffs coming from? The tariffs aren't meant to put more costs on the American population. It's to bring everybody to the negotiation table to realize this isn't going to work anymore.
Well, Elon Musk wants free trade with all these different countries, but the free trade has to be equitable for both parties.
That's exactly right.
Everybody's got to be fair here. They can't be sucking the blood out of the United States. It's like a vampire. They attach themselves to our jugular vein and start pulling all this stuff out of our country all the time, and basically they're selling off the country, and Trump sees this.
Yep.
So now, I don't know if this is all about bringing in a one-world currency. Think about what I just said. If all these trade barriers are dropped and suddenly we have a one-world currency –
it would need to be done. I mean, it could be done. There's no way to have a one world currency and have all these trade imbalances with different tariffs. It's impossible because there'd be too much fluctuation.
So is this going to be bringing in the beast system?
It may be.
Think about it for a second. Is that why we're doing this, to bring in the beast system of a one world currency and a one world government?
Or are we just trying to continue the mantra of the United States basically being the reserve currency of the world longer? They're not ready to dissolve it. I don't know.
Well, you know, the thing I find about this and find this all very interesting is that, you know, if you're bored right now, you need to wake up a little bit and read some stuff, because there's some wild stuff going on right now. You know, people kind of, you know, want to go to sleep every day and just do their own little thing and pretend like nothing's happening globally. And now they're beginning to realize that we can't do that anymore. We got a lot of stuff happening globally that we got to pay attention to real quick, like, to make sure that we're okay. And that's what I believe we're doing. I think nationalism is very, very, very important. The United States needs to be taking care of the people of the United States.
Absolutely.
That's why it blows my mind that Barrett and the rest of these judges said these guys have to go through due process when they're not citizens of the United States. Now it could be the due process is, are you a citizen? No. Okay, you're out.
That's true. They didn't elaborate on that. But they said they basically have to give them fair time and fair appeal process on it, which I don't know why you need a fair appeal. You're here legally and you're convicted criminal.
And plus, here's the other thing, too, with the fair appeal process. The courts are bogged down.
Exactly. Badly. It's just going to allow these guys to stay in the United States.
No, they should have gone ahead and given a ruling on this so that they wouldn't have to go through an appeals process. Oh, by the way, I'm going to talk to you for a second about it. You know, we had this one kid stab another kid out there in Texas.
I saw that.
You know, there are a couple of
both ball players.
A couple of them star football players from different teams, and one guy walked up to the stand. The other guy was in his seat, probably sitting by his girlfriend. Who knows? Doesn't say that. And he says, tells him to get up. He's in his seat, and the guy goes, grab me and see what happens. And so he grabs him, and the guy pulls a blade out and stabs the guy in the heart.
Kills him in the heart.
Kills him. You think, well, that's awful. Well, I read it this morning, and you know the thing about it is now they're trying to do another Zimmerman Trayvon Martin. They're trying to do black stuff and white stuff with this, and I don't think that's necessary. It's not. I mean, but why in the world are two athletes, you know, going to be doing this if they're both football players? They're both pretty tough kids to start with.
Yeah.
Why is it necessary for one of them to pull a blade out and kill the other one instead of just getting in a fist?
Why was he carrying a blade at school anyways? And why did he deploy it so quickly in the fight?
There's something else going on here that we're not being told. And you know, it's not a black white thing. Don't let them do that to you. Don't do that because I mean I know a lot of white boys that carry blades that are a bunch of
so do I. So I mean, at the end of the day, you got a 17-year-old kid that's dead from a knife wound to the heart at a school function. What really led up to this? Because I've been in a lot of fights when I was younger, and I've never been knifed. I've actually never even had somebody pull a blade on me. I've had some gun stuff in the past, but I've never had a blade pulled off me before.
Guns are worse. I've got some advice.
When I was a lot older, and you carry a firearm for a reason.
I've got to let you know something. You never, ever bring
a gun.
No.
But that's what didn't make sense about this story is I was like, these two kids are like 17 years old. They're both athletes. They're probably both pretty good shape from what it looked like.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, why in the world are they getting an altercation over a seat or sitting by somebody, whatever the story is, and why is a blade getting deployed that quickly? To me, I feel like there's more to the story. They either had previous conflict or something on the field. I don't know. But again, I find the story, it's sad. The kid's dead.
Yeah, our condolences to the family of the child who's dead.
But the media has tried to turn the whole thing into another race war again with each other about it. At the end of the day, people need to ask themselves the question, why in the world are these kids this young in high school pulling blades on each other over an altercation?
Well, and if you've got a kid who's an athlete, who's muscled up, who's been working out with weights, they get a lot of testosterone going around the age of 16.
Yeah.
16, 17 is about the peak testosterone.
Yeah, you're pretty aggressive.
And so you get pretty aggressive. And so, you know, and I've seen a lot of athletes that age that are real bullies.
Yeah.
They like to pick on people and throw their weight around. I mean, I've seen it personally.
Oh, so have I.
And the sad part about it is, in some cases, it doesn't end very well for them. I remember there was a kid a few years ago. He's like 20 years old. 20. Well, it's back when you could drink at 18. And he went to a bar, and he's an athlete, all muscled up. And a man came in with his girlfriend or his wife, and he started wanting to hit on this guy's wife or girlfriend. And they got into an altercation, and the guy basically got beat up who had the wife, you know, right in the middle of everything. Well, he goes home and gets a gun, 12-gauge shotgun, comes back and sits in the parking lot, waits for the guy to come out of the bar. So the guy comes out of the bar, he grabs the shotgun, pulls it towards him, causes it to discharge, and killed him. So the redneck bully got killed. The two white boys, there's no blacks involved in this, so you can't make this a black-white thing. And so, you know, there are a lot of people out there when they get young and they're younger, they're not thinking about consequences like this. This kid could go to prison the rest of his life now. This is a big deal if he doesn't get the death sentence in Texas. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, they could put him on death row.
Well, the biggest thing they're going to ask in the courtroom is this, is why in the world did you have a blade on you that was that deployable?
Now, the one reason I don't think he'll get the death sentence is this.
It wasn't premeditated. It
wasn't premeditated, and the white boy grabbed him.
Right. But they are going to ask, why in the world were you 17 at school carrying a blade on you like this?
Well, he told the white boy, he said, you grab me, see what happens next.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay, well, but he was assaulted. The guy did grab him. So I don't think he's going to get a death sentence, but he's going to be in jail for a long time if he gets found guilty on this.
It's going to be at least manslaughter using a deadly weapon like that.
Yeah, but again, my condolences to the family. But just teach your kids that, you know, muscle and bone doesn't go well against blades and guns. It just doesn't work like that. By the way, we quoted this earlier. I want to quote it again. By 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Wait a minute. Yeah, here we go. For those professing a preference for one type of government or over another, an ugly reality is they all are cut from the same cloth. Whether we're talking about democracy, communism, socialism, or fascism, the strong link they share is the dominance of and desire to control. Now, they're not talking about republics here. While seen as a vastly different system with distinct goals, each is rooted in the promise people should sacrifice as needed for the greater good. The main flaw in a democracy that allows a simple majority to force their desires upon others. In other words, 51% says we're going to go ahead and kill the other 49%. Yeah. They vote against them. This is why our forefathers set checks and balanced the Constitution. They gave us a republic. Today, the burden of risk and the amount of skin in the game is not equally shared by all of our society. Over time, our financial system and institutions, here we go, have been corrupted by crony capitalism and political systems that pander to the masses by exchanging favors for baubles. In other words, like, you know, beads. It could be argued that those in power don't have to take away our freedom by force if we are willing to surrender or trade it for a few paid weeks off of work.
There you go.
Nor do they have to be fair in how they go about this if they're simply getting a majority of the population to go along with their plan. The suspicion of governments are self-serving creatures and an apparent in the old-school British imperial definition of commerce, which used free trade as a cover for the military dominance of weaker nations, what Britain used to always do. Those put in a position of being exploited often saw this as simply a ruse promoted by those wishing to abuse them. In short, opening borders and turning off protectionism simply makes it easier to rob countries of their wealth. America is a wayward child of England and has been accused of the same path. So I'm going to let you guys read the rest of this stuff. It's very, very good article. It's very thought-provoking. And so it's the truth, isn't it? If we surrender freedom for safety,
you get neither.
Every single time, you get nothing.
Look, COVID was the prime example of that. People are willing to give up almost everything because they got a few unemployment checks and some STEMI checks. And you're going to protect me. Protect me from COVID. Save me from COVID. Give me a shot. Give me anything you have. Instead of looking at it and going, well, why don't we start asking the question? This is a virus. It's a mutated flu. Why don't we start treating it with proper supplementation like vitamin C, D3, and zinc? Oh, no, that's fake news. You can't talk about that. Anytime, and I say this all the time, and I know I'm repeating myself, anytime an individual in authority starts telling you, you cannot question anything I say, you cannot question anything that's being done, you have to sit down, shut up, and be a good peasant. Don't request or don't say anything other than what I tell you to. You need to question everything you're saying. If you have a pastor that says, you cannot question anything we say about a certain country, everything we say about that country is 100% correct. You cannot ask a question about it, because if you do, you're basically being wrong.
Well, you're talking about Israel.
I'm talking about whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
If you start saying you can't question anything about a shot, anything you say is misinformation, there's nothing you can say about it. You can't talk about vitamin C, D3, or zinc, get the injection, probably need to be questioning everything they're saying about the injection.
You know what's funny is that, you know, you go to a church and you can't look at their books.
There you go, yeah.
We're going to meddle for a second. I'm going to get some people mad for a minute. You go to a church and they say, our books are closed. Well, we want to know what you pay everybody. We're not going to tell you.
Well, I at least always want to know where the funds being dispersed. Are they going to missionaries? Are they going to homeless factors? Are they going to basically child sex trafficking prevention like we've done with the Thai girls? Are we doing stuff to help better society and better the world? Or is the money just sitting in an account, or is it being funneled to other groups?
Or are they buying private jets?
Or are they buying?
Or how many mansions? There's one guy had up here.
How many houses do you have across the country?
I know him. He had 25 mansions across the country. They were all parsonages.
They're all part of the 501c3.
He's dead now, but he had 25 mansions around the country. And so you have to ask yourself a question: if the books aren't open, why are they not open?
Exactly right.
What are they trying to hide?
If it's a nonprofit and they're functioning primarily off donations and people giving them money, why in the world won't anybody know what they're doing?
The books need to be open. That's my opinion. If you can't see the books, then what's the point? If you want to go, let's say you sell your house and you have a $10,000 gift you want to give to the church, you really kind of have a right to ask, you know, where's the money going to go?
I want to designate this money.
Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. And so we could sit here and I could talk about Russia. You can be on the Harvard campus and you can talk about Russia, how bad Russia is.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You could be at the Harvard campus, you can talk about how bad Germany is.
Yeah.
And you can talk about the imperialism of Great Britain and how they used to be such a slave trader and how horrible they were.
Yep.
You can talk about that. You could talk about Congo. You can talk about South Africa and apartheid. You can talk about anything you want except for Israel. You start protesting what's happening in Gaza on Harvard campus, all of a sudden the funds are cut off. Suddenly you're basically deported and you're sent back to your home, wherever you were from. You know, it's funny to me how when they deport these people from these colleges, they don't have to go through due process.
That's a valid point.
They're just loaded up and hauled off.
You got MS-13 gangs out of Colorado and Trin gangs out of Colorado. Suddenly now we got to give them due process when they're convicted criminals, sometimes of murder, manslaughter, all kinds of stuff.
Now we're talking college students. They don't get due process.
Yeah.
They just got to go home. Their visas are gone.
Interesting, valid point. One thing I wanted to cover before we close up today on this show on here, this is another article coming up on Ozempic again.
This is a bad product.
That's why I told you guys for the last year and a half, 2 years, when people were asking me about the semaglutide injections and all this stuff, the recent study indicates that a diabetes medication like Ozempic and Ribosyl may be linked to increased risk of thyroid cancer. They already found this in rats. They started linking it to humans, and now they're finding out more and more and more and more. This drug was specifically designed to be for type 2 diabetes. It basically had Syndrome X. That was it. That's what it was for. It was designed for that. It was designed to be for short-term usage to basically get people's blood sugar under control with type 2 diabetes and then look at other factors. It was never intended to be a weight loss drug. And so when you start looking at the research on this, they're showing that the uptick is indicating that GLP-1RAs themselves can cause thyroid cancer, and they're starting to see a direct correlation.
Text me that link. I'll post it.
Just because this got brought up about a year and a half ago, because they had that research study with rats. And everybody went, no. It's a rat study. It has nothing to do with humans. Guys, when you got drugs that are this early in phases and they start going out and you start having a massive amount of people taking them that do not need to be taking them. I told you a ways back I had a guy. He was getting his weight under control, and he went to the doctor, and he was doing what we were talking about. He was getting his meals dialed in. He was exercising, taking supplements, doing great. Anyway, the doctor he was talking about, the doctor said, well, if you want, I'll show you how to spike your blood sugar before next blood test. So basically, you know, you drink some orange juice right before blood test, say you're fasting, though, and essentially spike your A1Cs to the roof, and I get you a script for basically Ozempic. No questions asked. He goes, but I'm not diabetic. I'm actually doing great losing weight. He goes, well, if you want to lose some more weight, I get you a script for it. And he goes, no, I don't. Why do I want to do that? And this is what they've done now. You've got all these clinics and these doctors now that are coming in saying, oh, Ozempic's safe and effective for weight loss. We'll get you a script for it. It's not used for that. It's not needed for that. It's not healthy for that.
It's also been linked to suicide.
And the thing is, too, majority of these people that are doing it are not getting their diet under control either.
Well, no, the thing about it, if you want to lose body fat, go on chicken and vegetables.
Yeah.
Or fish and vegetables.
Even the Fit Food and the collagen, those things together, two scoops and two scoops, that will also blunt your appetite because you get like 40 grams of protein.
And use it as a meal replacement.
Yeah. So you got 40 grams of protein. You're really benefiting your body with proper amounts of protein and collagen, and you're not hungry. It'll kill your appetite for an hour or two as a meal replacement until you get another good quality meal in.
Well, the whole thing about it is it's always about, you know, maintaining low glycemic intake.
Yep.
In other words, you stay away from sugar. You stay away from fruit juice. You stay away from high amounts of fruit. You stay away from pasta, bread, potatoes, rice. White potatoes will spike your blood sugar faster than table sugar will.
They do.
And so why in the world do you want to dump that stuff in? Because every time you burn that sugar up in your bloodstream, you got to dump in more insulin. That insulin stores that sugar as body fat.
Yep.
And so that's what this is doing with Ozempic. It's bringing the insulin down. That's what it's doing. It's basically a diabetic drug. It's bringing the blood sugar down, bringing the insulin back down. And the problem is it's all temporary. As soon as you get off this stuff, if you haven't changed your dietary habits,
that's exactly
right. You gain all the weight back.
That's the problem that I've watched now. I've seen multiple people, and you have too. They get on this stuff. They lose a bunch of weight. They lose a bunch of muscle tissue. When they come off the drug, the weight balloons right back up because they never changed anything. They just went on a drug.
I had a friend of mine. He basically was eating like unbelievably all the time. And he started gaining weight.
He's almost
60 years old. And I finally told him, I said, dude, I said, you know, if you don't cut this out, you're going to start gaining weight. And he did. And he went on Ozempic. And he lost about 30, 40 pounds. And guess what? He got off the Ozempic. And now he's back up 30 or 40 pounds because he never changed his dietary habits. You can't eat all the time like you're starving to death,
No. You
know, every single meal and wonder why you're gaining weight.
If you're wanting to get your blood sugar under control and you want to burn body fat with some basic supplements, we put this together as a New Year's
special. This works
great. Still together. The cinnamon extract, the berberine, and the Pro-Cut Core. Now, if you're not really having an issue with blood sugar, you can drop it and just get the Pro-Cut Core and the cinnamon extract. The berberine is dihydroberberine, berberine ultimate. It is very strong. Watch your blood sugar. If you have low blood sugar or you have moderate blood sugar, you probably don't need the berberine very often. Now, if you do have high blood sugar, it works great for that. That is a very strong compound. It will get your blood sugar under control. The Pro-Cut Core will help burn more body fat along with exercise and a healthy diet with probably pretty much zero side effects. I've been using this kit for years. So has everybody else. They don't have any problems.
Well, you know, if you take the right supplements, eat the right foods, you drink the right kind of water. Now, remember, don't be drinking fluoride or chlorinated water if you're trying to lose weight because it'll mess up your thyroid. Because the thyroid thinks that basically, you know, the fluorine and the chlorine are iodine because they're both halogens and they mess up thyroid function and, you know, it doesn't help you lose weight. That's why so many people start gaining weight. And they don't understand why, because they're pouring all this water into the system. It has all this iodine.
Get purified water.
It has the fluorine and chlorine in it. It's bad.
Get the purified water and get on the thyroid support.
Get one of our distillers.
That'll help out a lot. Yeah. And also, too, magnesium brain food. You guys took advantage of it this week. We got a bunch coming in for you guys. Product of the week, over 15% off.
It's a huge
discount. Be sure to grab that on sale for one last day. It'll be changing tomorrow on Wednesday, as it always does. You guys vote. Whatever you guys vote for, it wins. I think the vitamin C, the antioxidants, is going to win later on.
Yeah, every time we put the magnesium brain food up, it wins.
It always wins.
It always wins. So does the powder multiple.
Well, the thing about the magnesium, I talked about it on the show last week. We actually posted a video up on our YouTube channel, Team Health Masters. So thank you guys for supporting that, supporting the podcast, staying up to date, getting your emails from us, getting your nutrition effects from us. But the magnesium brain food, so many people notice such a decrease in brain fog, such better focus and clarity. That's why people know it works, and that's why people come back to it.
Well, people, once you start on it, they continue. I take it every day.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I got to pray for you guys again, and I pray that God continues to bless you and keep you. And I pray that his face shines upon you, and he's gracious unto you, and he grants you grace, mercy, peace, love, and prosperity all the days of your life. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus every single day of your life. Because he is the answer. He's the finisher and he's the perfecter of our faith. I love you guys so very, very much. And thank you for your support of Health Masters. If you weren't supporting us, we couldn't be here to bring you this message. And always ask yourself a question. How many people do you hear on a podcast talk about Jesus, talk about Christ, talk about God, talk about things that we're not supposed to talk about in the Middle East? We always try to give you a fair assessment of what's going on globally. Thanks again for your support. I love you so much.
Thank you, my friends. And also, check out the reviews on here, the Magnesium Brains, if you want to read about it. These are all reviews we brought over from the old website and newer reviews that we're getting. So just if you guys want a heads up and learn about it before you see other response on. Have a great evening, my friends. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.